is nothing short of outstanding and exciting for me and others in the organization. So we welcome you, Will.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, thank you for having me on here. Super excited about this opportunity. And first, thank you to Jerry and ownership and Chris and the group for the opportunity. I just couldn't be more excited. And going through this process and kind of just discovering the type of people that are in the organization is really the main reason why I'm so excited about this job. And I'm definitely somebody who has benefited from the people around me from day one back in San Rafael, and my coaches and teammates and teachers that I've had. Coach Tavani, my basketball coach in high school at Princeton, having Coach Bradley there, my professional career, people like Buddy Black and Dave Roberts have just had a tremendous impact on me, and it's continued into my coaching career as well. To be able to be in Chicago with Jed and Theo and have their impact, and be in Boston and have Haim and Alex Cora impact me, and then my time in Texas. I can honestly say I just wouldn't be here without the people around me and the people that have challenged me and supported me and just helped me be a better person. So thank you to all of you people. Don't have time to list everybody, but believe me, there's a long list of people that have impact. And just going back to Texas just for a second, I do want to single them out. I think about my 2 years there, and the acceleration of my development is really just attributed to Bruce Bochy, Chris Young, and Ray Davis, and the things that they did. And it's with that development that I feel extremely confident that I'm prepared for this opportunity. But I also know that without them, I don't think that I would be ready for this. So it was really a hard decision to leave, to be honest. When you're in a place like that with those kind of people, it's really challenging. And it was only because I felt so confident about this opportunity and the people in this organization that I was confident about making that move. Through this process, and kind of like how I even frame up the opportunity as far as is this a interview that I want to take or not? You just look superficially like at the city and my time in the city and my love for this city, and then the reputation and what I knew of Chris and his values and who he is as a person. It was really a no-brainer to take the interview. And I'm so glad I did, because just to continue to learn about Chris and the group and the people and the organization, their vision for winning, and really the foundation that they've laid and will continue to lay, I just couldn't be more excited for the opportunity. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I can't wait to go to work.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Will. Billy Russo, you are
Yes,
the
sir.
maestro, and I know people have already raised their hands for questions for Will and or Chris. So Billy, take it away.
Perfect. Thank you, Len. Just a reminder, guys, if you have a question, please raise your hand and I will call your name. So everybody start with the first question. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Welcome back, Will, to Chicago. One question I want to ask you, because this team has a lot to take care of as far as trying to get back to winning. How do you balance developing players plus trying to win games at the same time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think really, regardless of where you're at and what you're trying to do, the most important thing is building a culture and creating an environment that gives these guys the best chance to go out there and win and compete. And regardless of where you're at, I think that's the focus, and that's something that I'm coming in here looking to do from day one.
And when do you start getting your coaching staff put together, and how quickly can you get that done?
I don't know what the timeline is. We've started to have the conversation with Chris and the guys, so that's ongoing, but we have started the process.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
John Greenberg.
Hey, Will. You mentioned, why it was a no-brainer for you to take the interview because you like Chicago, you like Chris. What kind of sales job did Chris kind of have to get to give to, for you to take this job? I mean, the Sox lost 121 games. They don't have a huge budget to acquire talent. We don't know like kind of the timeline. So how and if did Chris have to sell you on this?
Well, I wouldn't say he sold me on it. I think he was just really transparent about what he valued, and that really started with people. And that's what I value too. And we continued to talk, and he continued to lay out his vision for winning and the foundation he wanted to build. And it really all started with people, and that really resonated with me and kind of lit me up. And as we continued to talk, I just was more and more confident that he was the kind of partner that I wanted to have in this.
It was kind of, you were mentioned last year of not wanting an interview or maybe not wanting to leave Texas. So like, I was just curious what changed between now and then with the opportunities.
I don't think anything changed. I think every year, my wife and I, we have kind of a set of criteria that we go into the year. I've been super lucky to have these opportunities, and you don't assume anything, but in case that people call, you want to be prepared to go about those decisions thoughtfully. And at the time, it just was one of those things last year where some of the opportunities that I had just didn't really fit the criteria for me and my family, and it had no knock on the opportunities, and it wasn't anything going on with Texas. It was just kind of my personal criteria that I had, and this year it was different.
Andrew Seligman.
Yeah, hi, Will. Congratulations, first of all, and just when you were looking at this job and considering whether to take it, just what concerns did you have given the state of where things were with this organization this season?
To these interviews, and you want to learn about what's going on. There's things that you can guess at from the outside, but you don't know until you get in there, and you really have to have you have some of these conversations. And so that's what was exciting for me, is that I got to have those conversations and was able to develop a real belief in Chris and the program, and just to the degree that I'm really excited to take the job.
Ryan McGuffey.
One for each of you. I want to start with you, Chris. Just the process. I mean, 60 candidates, that's obviously a very exhaustive process, and we know that perception's not always reality when it comes to noise and people outside of the building. But what did you learn during the process about the perception of the organization in the game?
Yeah, I mean, for one, you go through a kind of a grand or large process like we did. It's an opportunity to learn more about yourself, right? I mean, you're having conversations about to other individuals that work in other organizations, and along the way, there's opportunities to ask them, what their perception is of the organization. And sometimes I felt like it was accurate. Sometimes, it was not. And through that, through those conversations, I think for one, I'm really proud of our baseball operations group, because we're talking about essentially a 2-month process, and they committed a lot of time and effort in putting together, an interview process that also had the ability to be a reflection of what we represent as an organization. That was really important to me. Obviously, that's not the priority. The priority is to find the best candidate to fit in with the White Sox organization as a manager. We're still taking shape as a leadership group. This was generally our first year all working together, a lot of new faces, new ideas, but it really forced us and allowed us to really spend some intentional time together to develop, what is important to us, what are our values, how do we view the manager position, how do all these processes, work towards our ultimate goal of being a competitive major league club. So, if anything, I wouldn't say that, we learned something new, so to speak, but I think all the time we spent together allowed us to shape our leadership structure to allow us to go out there and execute even more efficiently in years to come.
And then, Will, first off, congratulations. But I want to ask you about culture. It can be a buzzword, and it's been a word thrown around here the last couple of years, loosely at times. What is the key for you to building? I mean, obviously, you've been in the game most of your life. What is the key for you to building a culture, knowing that you're going to have to take some lumps in the early going, but throughout the process that the culture remains the same from top down?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I mean, I think like number one, we just have to set really clear expectations for how we want to go about our business on a daily basis, and be able to follow up and develop leadership that can hold people accountable to that. But it's also about creating a winning mentality. You know, in every team across the league, you know, the Yankees, all the way through the rest of the league, you know, you're going to have your challenges and adversity. And to be able to create a winning mentality where you say, hey, you know, I know we're going to struggle with some stuff, but if we continue to go out there and compete, if we continue to work together and focus on the things we know win games and are good teammates to each other, then we can overcome a lot together. And that's my mentality. That's a mentality that I want this team to have. And for me, like, you put those two things together and you develop a really strong culture.
Lamont Pope.
Hello, Will. Congratulations. I was wondering if you could just kind of give us a takeaway that you had from each stop, Texas, Boston, and with the Cubs. What was something that kind of you took away from each of those stops that's going to aid you here as a manager?
Yeah, I think in Chicago, you know, really interesting group of young, talented players and Joe Maddon, who was creative and innovative and an unbelievable leader. And the thing that really sticks out for me there is just his ability to stay positive. It didn't matter what the score of the game was, what time of the day, he just had the same presence about him. And that's something I always admired from him and something that really stands out. In Boston, you know, Alex was an amazing leader. He did it in a different way than Joe. And certainly, you know, his ability to build relationships with players was amazing. How he went about it, he was very intentional with everything that he did and was very player driven, and just came from it with an amazing understanding of what players need and where they're at. And I think that's a huge thing and something that'll be important to me as a manager, is just understanding where the guys are at individually. And then in Texas, I mean, Boach is amazing. The player group was amazing. And, you know, really the one thing, and I was the direct benefactor of it, is just how inclusive Boach is and how thoughtful he is with his staff. And, you know, you're on his coaching staff and you show up every day and you know that you're going to be included in conversations. You know that your opinion matters, that you can have an impact on the group, and whether it's the lineup or game planning, you know, you have a say in it and are valued. And that's something that has stood out to me. And again, something that, you know, I experienced firsthand, but I also want to adopt to my program as well.
Coach Mike.
Well, welcome back to Chicago.
Thank you.
Two questions. First question is, I don't know how familiar you were with the personnel that was on the field this past season, but what conversation have you had as far as this upcoming season in terms of the chemistry of the youngsters and the need to possibly go out into the free agent market to make this team more competitive and the fan base more accepting of the product?
Yeah, you know, those conversations are ongoing, and I don't know that we define what those things are. To be honest, it's kind of, for me, early in all this, and these last couple of days have been a little bit of a whirlwind, and we have talked about through the interview process about the type of culture we want to build and the type of team that we want to have. But as far as specific personnel and kind of what the rest of the offseason looks like, you know, I would kick that question to Chris.
And my second question, either you or Chris, what does Grady Sizemore fit into the organization for the upcoming season?
Yeah, Coach, I'll kick that off in you know, in regards to Grady, and I want to start with this. I'm grateful for Grady to step up the way he did, what we asked him to do in a very trying time. And, you know, I felt like he did exactly what we asked him to do in August and September, in proud of the relationship that he and I and others have grown, you know, with Grady. You know, early on when Will and I were, you know, we're talking, and he asked about Grady. He said, if I were to get this position, you know, what happens to Grady? And I said, listen, you know, that's up to you. I will say that he's, admired. Will had known that about Grady. He respected him, obviously, as a player. He's heard really, really good things and watched from afar. We've continued to have conversations on how Grady can fit, and certainly take advantage of the skill sets and the traits that Grady has, and see if he can be part of, improving this culture and getting us, where we need to go. But I know that Will certainly holds Grady in high regard.
Ram Baker.
Thank you. Congratulations, Will, and welcome back to Chicago.
Thank you.
My question is, as a former player who reached the highest level of the game, spending time in the front office as well as on the field coaching, what intangibles or strong suits do you feel you possess to help turn this thing around, this immense challenge where really the only way to go was up?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is just that I have an underdog mentality and all the things that come with that. In every step of the way in my professional career, I've been on teams that have had to work hard to overachieve, and that's just a kind of a mindset and mentality that I'm comfortable with, and I've seen that work at even the highest levels. I mean, in 2023 with Texas, I thought that that's what we did unbelievably, is that we had this underdog mentality, and we had a bunch of really good players that were hungry. And that's how I'm comfortable operating, in that mode. And so I think that's the number one thing. And then for me, we've talked a lot about people and relationships and communication, which I know are buzzwords, but that's what I value, is creating an environment where these guys know that they can come to me with stuff, that we have good open communication, that we have a positive environment, but at the same time, like, have these relationships where we can pass critical information, and we can be honest with each other and hold each other accountable and give each other feedback. So I think with all those things, like, those are all big contributors to the kind of culture I want to build.
But at any point while you were deciding, did you say, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to take this job?
No, not at all. I mean, I look at all of these jobs and all these opportunities as a challenge. I think that I don't think that there's one managerial job that is easy. All these jobs come with their unique challenges, and I'm excited about the challenges that are presented here with this group.
Thank you.
Vinny Duber.
I will. Certainly, Grady Sizemore was brought up, and when he took over last year, it was a very much part of the conversation that he was a recent former player, and the players in the clubhouse really seemed to respect that and talk about that a lot. Throughout your career as a coach, how have you kind of found your recent playing career to be a benefit in relating to the guys?
I think just number one is empathy and understanding how challenging the game is, and there's going to be times where things are really good in this game for individual guys, and most of the time they're going to feel like they're bad. And I know I certainly spent a lot of time feeling like I was never going to come out of it, that the game was kind of consuming me a little bit. And so I think that perspective and how you lead and how you communicate with people is important, and that's something certainly that I lead with. And then just understanding the demands of a 162 game season, and how we go about our training, and how we set up our schedule, and how we just take care of the guys, and understand that it's a grind. I think the combination of those two things is part of the reason why playing experience is valuable.
Mike McGraw.
Hey, well, you mentioned earlier that it was the people that made a big impression on you when you were interviewing at the White Sox. It's like, besides Chris, like, what are the things that you see as you were going through the process that made you optimistic about the future here?
Yeah, I mean, being with other members of the front office, absolutely. And then playing against a team this year and watching a group of guys that went out there, and obviously, there was times where there were struggles and challenges, but this is a group that I saw come with energy every day, and really compete. And that's for me, what's really important. And I thought that really showed a lot, and something that I'm looking forward to helping progress and move forward.
Daryl Vance Coyne.
Hey, Will,
Considering where the team is at in the process of the rebuild right now, how would you define what a successful season would be in your first year next season?
Yeah, I think going in, you have a plan, and certainly that is to create an environment where guys can be at their best. And it's going to come with challenges, and there's going to be situations that challenge that, and are going to force us to rethink things and be adjustable and flexible to things. And I think if you look up at the end of the year and you say that you've handled that adversity well, that's definitely a sign of a successful year. We also know that we're building something. We know that there's not just the way that we go about our business and our culture, but also our systems and our processes. If we've continued to build that for the future, I think that that's also a sign of a successful year.
Scott American.
Hey, Will, congratulations. Question for you. How much does your knowledge of Chicago baseball, having worked here, obviously on the other side of town, kind of help you have an understanding going into this new job for you?
Yeah, I think to some degree, first of all, I've seen the rivalry, from the other side, which has been great. But I also know the kind of city it is, and the kind of baseball that is expected. And I think that fits kind of my vision of kind of the kind of play. And ultimately, it's going to be about these players and their ability to go out there and compete and work hard and give effort. And so, beyond that, I don't know, but I do know that those things are really important to me and really important to the city.
Omar Ramos, you're mute, Omar.
There we go. All righty. Sorry about that. Thank you so much for taking my call here. Congratulations on being hired as the White Sox manager. On behalf of Univision Chicago and Contacto Deportivo Extra, we welcome you. Te damos la bienvenida a la ciudad de Chicago. I'm curious to know, what kind of communicator do you consider yourself, granted that Major League Baseball is such a multicultural driven business, and there's a lot of important Hispanic players. Are you a bilingual manager? How is your Spanish, and how do you plan on communicating with the Hispanic players on the team?
Mi español es muy malo, first of all. Okay. But no, that is something that's extremely important, and I think that every step of the way, that's something that is valued to me and is going to be considered. And to the detail that, our messaging, if we're having presentations, that is being thoughtful, that we're being thoughtful about, our Spanish speakers being able to understand those things. And in the clubhouse, you're exchanging some very important information. And I've seen firsthand how things can get lost in translation and lost because we don't have the right types of translation. So that's something that is extremely valuable to me. And every single person in our organization and on our team is valued, and a part of valuing them is following through and making them comfortable and giving them the things that they need to be successful. And certainly the thoughtfulness about how they receive information, and that we have people that understand where they come from are all very important to me.
Perfect. Thanks.
Paul Sullivan.
Hi, Will. Congrats. You've worked for some old school guys and some analytics minded guys. Where do you stand on the analytics, and what should we expect from your managing style in that aspect?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of different styles. For me, I think most decisions should be founded in objectivity. I think we have this amazing information, and we have to use that as kind of like the baseline for the decision. But we know that's not the whole story, right? We know that there are situations that change the way we look at this data. We know that there's players and their confidence levels, or their how they're feeling with their mechanics, or just how they feel about anything, is important to the decision also. So definitely objective on its floor, but understanding that there's important layers to this that will also be considered.
Hi, we just have time for one more question. It's going to be John Greenberg.
Hey, this one's for Chris. Chris, you talked about like kind of the value system
that you thought Will embodied. When you're going through this, I know I'm sure comfort and feel and kind of intuition played a part in feeling comfortable with Will, but what was kind of the value system? What do you want out of a manager at this point in the where the White Sox are?
Well, you know, we just covered the communication part for one. And, you know, from my perspective, as we were evaluating candidates, you know, the communication ability of Will definitely stood out. And the reason why I feel like it's so effective is because it's coming from a place of some authenticity, honesty. There's never anything, he never delivers anything in a rush. I mean, it's with depth. It's very thoughtful. And although he may be the smartest guy in the room, he doesn't need to kind of show off and let everyone know that he is the smartest guy in the room. And I think that's what makes him so welcoming. And regardless of cultural background or any background whatsoever, I think, you know, people respond well to that. In regards to, you know, the value system and things we were looking for, you know, in our manager position, although, you know, there are a lot of, when you think about hiring a manager or hiring anyone, there are emotions that could get involved. There are biases that can start infiltrating decision-making. And so we tried to build out a process that was very objective. And, you know, and through that objectivity, you know, we felt like we landed on some really strong candidates towards the final round. Obviously there's going to be nuance to it because there's nuance to the position. There's an art of coaching. There's an art of communication, but we did feel like it zeroed in on candidates that we feel like we're going to be effective, as a leader, as a manager for the Chicago White Sox. So, you know, there's some things we valued greater than others. We certainly understand where we are as an organization. Will does as well. There are going to be different phases along the way, but we feel like Will can be part of not only the near future here in 25, but beyond as our roster begins to take shape, and also as we start accomplishing greater things at the major league level.
Thank you, everyone. Will, congratulations. Chris, thank you as well. And everybody enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you at the ballpark soon.
Thank you, Len. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Everywhere we go.
Everywhere we go.
People stop and ask us.
People stop and ask us.
Who we are.
Who we are.
Where we come from.
Where we come from.
So we tell them.
So we tell them.
Everywhere we go.
Everywhere we go.
People stop and ask us.
People stop and ask us.